your vocation? So in our culture, we tend to think of our vocation as our job, the thing that we get paid to do, or the thing that we've spent 8 hours a day or 12 hours a day doing for most of our lives. But in the original Latin that this word vocation comes from, it comes from the same root as voice. It's a word that means calling. And in the church, when we talk about vocation, we are talking about a calling from God. So when I say, what is your vocation? I'm asking, how is God calling you? Now, clergy often talk about our vocation, our calling. We talk about when we first heard the calling to be ordained ministers. And many of us, including me, can tell you about long stretches of time when we ran as fast as we could so that we didn't have to hear that call. But God is relentless. If God wants you to do something, God does not give up. But I also think that a calling from God is about more than just whether a person is ordained or not. It is about what every single person in this church, indeed every single Christian on earth, is called to do with their life, whether they're ordained or not. Because Jesus calls every one of us. And the Jesus that we know is so compelling, so life-transforming, so insistent that when he calls, it is hard to ignore. That compelling Savior calls some people to ministries in the church, lay and ordained. And more important, that Savior calls most of us to ministries outside of the church. He calls some of us to vocations of healing or teaching or improving the world. And he calls some of us to make a difference right where they are every day. So an accountant who loves God and cares for people and acts with unshakable integrity has a ministry in her workplace just as much as a priest does. So, do you have a calling from Jesus? Well, I think the answer is yes. I think that Jesus calls all of us, and when Jesus calls and we answer, then he can change our lives. Our gospel today is all about this idea of vocation, calling. Jesus today hears that his cousin John the Baptist has been arrested, and he goes back home, back north to Galilee, which is a perfectly logical step because Jesus had been down in Judea hanging around with John on the banks of the Jordan River, getting baptized, getting attention from both John and from other people who John pointed Jesus out to, who were interested in what Jesus had to say about the kingdom of God. But now John's been arrested. So Jesus withdrawing to Galilee, going up north, way far away from where John was arrested, is a reasonable safety precaution. But Jesus also seems to have a sense that now that John's ministry is over, God is calling him to begin. So he moves to Galilee, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, where long ago it was prophesied, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Jesus seems to realize that it's time for God's light to shine through him. Now, we don't know how Jesus heard God's voice, how he knew that it was his vocation to become the Messiah, how he knew that this was the time. But we know that he starts proclaiming the same message that John had proclaimed. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. Now, this is a message that we tend to hear negatively in our society because we've heard so many street preachers and others telling us that we're terrible sinners with nothing good in us, and if we don't do things right, that we're going to burn in the fires of hell. But thank you, Joey, for what you said about repentance, because some years ago, I remember praying morning prayer, which begins with a confession of sin. And I'm sitting there thinking, as I normally do, because I come from our culture, why do we start with this negativity? And then I realized that as I pray this confession of sin and I allow God to forgive me for all the things that I've done wrong, whether I know them or whether I not, whether I don't know them, or whether I've done them, or whether I've failed to do something I was supposed to do, God cleanses me. God opens up my heart to what God wants me to become. And this word, repentance, in the original Greek, it doesn't mean confess how terrible you are. It means get a new mind from above. It means open yourself to God's way of being, God's way of calling you. It means be washed clean and be transformed then into God's way of being. Join God as an agent of transformation in this world. That's what it means. It means that we are invited to join God in God's project of love of all of creation. So this is a word, this repent word is a word that invites us to give our hearts to Jesus and to Jesus' mission of transforming the world with God's love. And the things that Jesus does at the very end of this gospel passage today show us what a transformed world will look like. He teaches in the synagogues. He invites people into a deeper relationship with God, which is what we would call discipleship. He proclaims the good news of the kingdom to a world that is aching to hear good news, what we would call evangelism. And he heals those who are suffering, which is what we would call service to those who are in need. Physical healing, but also feeding the hungry and calling unjust rulers to act with justice. Those three things are what I constantly say are the mission of the church: discipleship, evangelism, and service. And a person who follows Jesus will answer at least one, but hopefully all of these callings in their lives. And a church that pursues these missions will be a church that helps transform the world. And a transformed world will be a world in deeper relationship with God, living in the light of the good news of God's love and bringing wholeness to all they encounter. That is what the kingdom of heaven looks like on earth. So, Jesus goes walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he starts gathering disciples to join him in this mission. He finds Peter and Andrew, he finds James and John, and he calls them to follow, and they leave everything behind and follow him. And the only promise he gives them to entice them is this famous one, which I think is sort of disappointingly translated in our New Revised Standard Version: "I will make you fish for people." Such a very functional call. But in the King James Version, he says, "I will make you fishers of men," or fishers of people. Jesus promises to transform them from the inside out and invites them to join in the mission of God. And indeed, as we follow the history of these and the other disciples, even though as they follow Jesus, they make mistake after mistake, they misunderstand the mission, they do it wrong, they go herring off in all the wrong directions, and still, over time, with Jesus, he does transform them. They do become fishers of people. They become people whose faith in Jesus eventually overcomes all of their imperfections, their inadequacies, their failures, and they find their vocation to tell others about Jesus and help transform the world. Of course, reading this story, I am always struck by the improbability of it all. What did Jesus see in these ordinary fishermen that would give him the idea that they could change the world? How did Jesus call such remarkable ministries out of unremarkable people like Peter and Andrew and James and John? And the other side of the question: what was so compelling about Jesus that people would leave everything they had ever known, that they would give up their livelihoods and their families and just follow him, apparently on the spur of the moment. Well, interestingly, this may not be actually the first time that Jesus has met Peter and Andrew and James and John, because if you were here in church last week, you heard a gospel lesson from the Gospel of John that talked about how Jesus may already have met at least Peter and Andrew back down up by the shores of the Jordan River where John was baptizing. And so now, as Jesus has moved to Capernaum, the small town on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, where apparently Peter and Andrew and James and John were from, and if you go to Capernaum now, you can see what they think, what they say, is Peter's house right next door to the synagogue. So apparently Jesus has moved to Galilee, has maybe been living there for a while, maybe has spent lots of late nights in Peter's house sitting by the fire and telling stories and telling about the kingdom of God, almost certainly knows Peter and Andrew already. And therefore, today's call comes out of a relationship they had already established with a person that Andrew and Peter knew and trusted in the middle of their daily lives. And they are not going to skip straight from mending their nets to becoming fishers of people. 3 years will follow of following Jesus, learning what he has to teach, watching him heal and cast out evil, and then trying to do the same things themselves, failing some, but then succeeding and being amazed by everything they see. So that by the time Jesus is crucified and then resurrected, they have grown and changed through their relationship with him. And they are ready to be not just fishermen, but fishers of men, fishers of people. This improbable, impossible calling that we all share. Theologian Mark Rawls says, "When Christ calls, he beckons us beyond the point of familiarity, asking us to risk doing something we don't know how to do, to become someone we're not yet sure how to be." This is a story that begins with Jesus' command, "Follow me." And as the disciples follow him, they will learn how to call others to follow too. So when I ask, what is your vocation? What is your calling from God? I think that this story tells us how this vocation comes to us, unremarkable people though most of us are. I for sure am. It comes first out of a relationship with Jesus, out of following him over a period of time and letting his teaching and his life transform us. It comes out of spending time with Jesus, rooted in Jesus, praying in a way that doesn't just list our requests to him, but also leaves space for his voice to come to us, listening to his words in Scripture, worshiping in Christian community, letting him nourish us through his body and his blood, following him. That is discipleship. And it's the first of the three pillars of church mission that I talk about: discipleship, evangelism, and service. Discipleship is something that we are called to deepen throughout our lives. Commit more regularly to worship. Pray daily in the way that is best for you. Read the Bible and let it inspire your imagination so that you can live out your faith in daily life. Let your faith shape your world instead of our human temptation, which is trying to arrange our faith to conform to what we already believe about the world. Being a disciple of Jesus means letting yourself be transformed by a relationship with the God of love, the Savior who loved you so much that if you were the only person in the world, he would still have given his life for you. It is out of that relationship with God and with Christ, a relationship founded on love, that our vocation as Christian people grows. because that's how we come to know that Savior who is so compelling that he can change our lives and change the world through us. And how does he change the world through us? Well, Jesus asks us to love God and love our neighbor. We love God through our practices of discipleship. We love our neighbor through evangelism, sharing the good news of Christ with others who are longing for meaning and purpose in their lives. And we love our neighbor through service. I have said that 2023 is our year of service in this diocese. The love that we give others through our ministries of healing and feeding others and material transformation in this world, this is a tangible demonstration of God's love and a concrete bodily way that we live out the vocation that Jesus calls us to. And everything we do in Jesus' name builds a stronger relationship with Jesus. Like the very first disciples, it is out of our relationship with him that our call, our vocation, our Christian calling wherever we are becomes clear to us. And as we follow Jesus, as we become his disciples, we tell others about Jesus because he has transformed us. We love others because he has loved us. Everything we do as Christians is based on our call as disciples who follow Jesus. Everything we believe is because we have seen the work of Jesus, his love, his self-giving, his resurrection, his call to each one of us. Everything we accomplish is because we have been transformed by Jesus. Every part of your ministry is based on the call of that compelling, loving, challenging Savior who is so worth giving your heart to. Because giving your heart to Jesus changes your life. It gives you meaning and purpose. It fulfills you in a way no other vocation could. And once you've given your heart to Jesus, he calls you to invite others to share in that love and that challenge, to hear the call of Jesus and to be transformed in his name.